push the button. Okay. All right. So I'm pretty good at pushing people's buttons, but you know, sometimes I get confused with the button on the mic and people's buttons. But thanks again and welcome everyone, all those that are live streaming as well. And it is fitting. It's interesting though, at the same time, one of my first comments here that I have in my notes is that we have a new year coming. But before I get into that and accomplishments for 2024 and how we drew ourselves closer to God. But before I get into all that, you know, this program that we just watched during our song service from 2015, one of the first things I wanted to say is, where did that year go? Now I want to say, that was 2015, so where did those 9 years go? It's crazy to look and see these young folks that we watched in the video and where they're at in life and what they're doing and who they are. We have the young ones that they have gone on to careers. It kind of chokes me up because I'm just very, very fortunate and blessed to be able to see them grow into good people. We're going to talk about the goodness from God and to see that God has brought them to good places. And it's interesting to see, especially my kids. Eric was in the back there, and you know, he's just a young man, and here I am tonight hitching a ride with him to church. And you know, that's one of the benefits, I guess, for them growing up, is I don't get the wear and tear on my vehicle. I start hitching a ride with them and making them chauffeur me around. So, but I'm thankful for that. We have kids in college. It's just, you know, it's so interesting to see when you look back at life, where you're at from where you were. And I was kind of reflecting on that as I was preparing for the sermon, my thoughts and, you know, all the things that we've seen over the last year. It's just interesting, and it gives me a desire to draw myself closer to God in the years to come. It's important that we do that. I think that if we give just a little bit every day to God, a little more every day to God, that really gives us that ability to know and to be reassured that we are going to a place that's prepared for us, a place that's special, a place that no man's hand can build. And I'm thankful for that. And it's aspiration of mine to be able to continue to please God and to help others be able to see the way. But, you know, as we've gone through this last year, we've seen a lot of sicknesses. We've seen the loss of loved ones. You know, that's been a struggle for a lot of us. And we've been there together. We've prayed for one another. We've been blessed with babies. And we get to hear their cries and to be able to share that experience with the new parents and to see them grow and to be raised and to become servants of God and servants of the community. I just am so thankful for that. We've seen new marriages. I think personally we've had some great fellowship here in our local and with our activities that we've done and the reach out that we've done and to be able to bless others and to be inviting to others. It's just a great feeling that in fulfillment that we get within ourselves spiritually, and I'm thankful for that. There's all kinds of things that we've done to where I see and I look back, and as fast as it's gone by, that aside from that fact that we've bore fruit for the Lord, and that's because the goodness that comes from God. That's part of what God calls of us. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to serve this local. And we have the election of officers coming up. We'll see what the Lord has in store for the new year. And regardless of the fact of what it is that the Lord has in store for us, I would ask each and every one of us to have that desire to serve. And you will see all the benefits that come from that. If we seek Him, if we have faith in His ability and capability that He can change and mold us and just
put effort into it a little bit every day, we'll see what the work of God does to our hearts and to our lives. And it's nothing but a blessing. It's been a blessing, and I'm thankful for that. And it's without the gift of His Son that it's with the gift of His Son that we have this opportunity to be able to walk in a path that is provided for us, to show us the way, to help us along, to be able to keep us safe, to take us into life's journey in interesting places, to meet interesting people, to see the love of God in other places, and to know that there's a bond in the church. There's a body, and we're all a part of it, and I'm thankful for that. And so I just kind of wanted to share some things tonight, and I wanted to start off with the book of Ether in chapter 5. Just read a couple verses there and kind of kick things off with these few words. But because of the faith of men, He has shown Himself unto the world and glorified the name of the Father and prepared a way that thereby others might be partakers of the heavenly gift, that they might hope for things which they have not seen. Wherefore, ye may also have hope and be partakers of the gift, if you will but have faith. And I appreciate that. And I think about that, that there is this opportunity for us to be able to follow after the Lord, and that there's a pathway in doing so. And one of the things that I always see myself doing is that I tend to take two steps forward, and then I take one step back. And I'm guilty of that. It's hard in this world to be able to completely stay 100% focused and to be able to do those things exactly right every single time. But we have that opportunity to see ourselves in our weaknesses and to grow and to learn from that and to know that with our faith that we can always do things that will help keep us on the path, that will correct our direction in which we go when we tend to go the wrong direction. And we learn from that and we grow from that. And there's things that we strive after day by day. We put goals in our life. We have opportunities. I remember, I believe I did one of the closing services for last year, and the New Year's resolution, I talked on that, and all the statistics that go with that. But I think we need to be able to look within ourselves and see where we're at, and to know that there's an opportunity for us to be able to better ourselves and to see the way of the Lord through our trials and errors. And I wanted to read another verse from Ether, chapter 5. It says, it's verse 12, "But in the gift of His Son hath God prepared a more excellent way, and it is by faith that it hath been fulfilled." And so there's this way for us to be able to achieve this excellence, and it's through Christ. Christ has came. He has given us every example that we need to be able to maintain focus, to maintain faith, to maintain hope, to have strength, to overcome, to understand, and to grow in the knowledge of our God and the purpose of our life. And, you know, it's a challenge for all of us. I understand that I have plenty of weaknesses in my life, and that's what I try to work on. One of the things through resolve that I like to do is I like to exercise a lot. And if, you know, by all means, if you want to find out how strong you are, start exercising. It could be quite challenging, and it can be good for you in various ways. But there's a strength that we get even more so from God. And it's based on who we are on the inside, who we are spiritually, how we walk with God, and how we care for others, and how we serve others. And I appreciate, again in Ether chapter 5, a little bit further down in verses 28 and 29, it says, "I give unto men weakness, that they may be humble, And my grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves before me. For if they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then I will make weak things become strong unto them. Behold, I will show unto the Gentiles their weakness, and I will show unto them that faith, hope, and charity bringeth unto me a fountain of all righteousness. And this is something that I've been thinking about. And I think about, you know, some of the achievements that I've made in my life, where I'm at. I just received 14 years of service with the city of Phoenix, you know, and that's a good accomplishment, I would say. And it's to be able to see where I'm at and where the Lord took me through that path is truly humbling. And I think about, and I've been thinking about it a lot lately, is where this country is going with the election. That really has given me interest in the things to come. And I think about what people strive after. And I know that a lot of people strive after greatness. And I had the opportunity to be able to read a book, and it was a really good book. It's for men, and it's called The Warrior Poet Way. And my son actually gave me that book. And it's interesting how it doesn't matter how old a person is. When there's goodness to be given, it could be given from anybody of any age. And it really helped me be able to look at things in a different way and to be able to understand my weaknesses. It talks a lot about who we are on the inside, our human nature. And he's a devout Christian. He was a missionary, retired ranger from the military, and has a lot of good ethical advice for being a man. And there's the warrior side, and then there's the poet side. And the poet side is the softer side. And it's interesting to be able to see from the outside, so to speak, who you are, and can relate to that from somebody that you never met that is expressing their feelings in a book and giving glory to God at the same time. And so there's a part of the book that, you know, through life, people, they try to achieve greatness. And we're going to do a comparison tonight between worldly greatness. So I want to stress that. And because I know our God is great, and there's a whole sermon that could go along with that and talking about God's greatness. But I'm talking about man's idea of greatness. And we're going to talk about goodness as well, the goodness from God. And we're going to compare the two and how that the two in themselves are completely different. And so I started looking into this, and there was a chapter in the book that, you know, struck my interest. And I wanted to start off. And it says that greatness, this is the Webster's 1828 dictionary. And John Lovell is the author of this book, The Warrior Poet Way. And he gives a definition of this. And greatness is large amount, high degree, high rank, dignity, eminence, power, command, swelling pride, grandeur, pomp, and magnificence. And, you know, I was thinking about this and kind of relating it to people in life that we look up to, that people admire. And it's just a general term, but, you know, there's people with great wealth, great power. You look at Warren Buffett, you look at Elon Musk. There's people with great physical capabilities. You look at Michael Jordan, you know, LeBron James, these people. And I think about that. There's people look at them with this greatness, and they strive to be like these people. And they dedicate it's all consuming. They dedicate their lives to try to emulate these people. And I was thinking about that and what sacrifices people make when they're trying to achieve this greatness in life, to try to put themselves up high, to have recognition. And I wondered about that. And as I read about that, you know, there's conversation, and, you know, these people put a lot of time and effort in becoming who they are. They're consumed by it, and I think about it and I wonder, what are their families like? You know, if they have kids, are the kids being neglected emotionally? Are they being neglected by their parents because of the amount of time they dedicate to practice who they are? And what are they willing to sacrifice? Do they lack in their relationships with their friends, with their family, with their spouses? You know, are these things that they put aside because they're not seeing everything that they can have around them and the goodness that comes with the things that God gives us? They look at this, they idolize these things, and they want to put their heart, their soul, all their efforts into it to achieve this greatness. And I think about that, and it's a matter of where do we look, and what are we trying, who do we look to, and what are we trying to accomplish? And so I wanted to summarize a story about a man that is described in this book, and it's one of the chapters. And in the background of this greatness, you see Mount Everest right there. And so there's this man that he's accomplished everything in life. He's done everything, a well-renowned businessman, and he was just getting tired of doing the same old thing. He wanted to seek after greatness through his life by seeking adventure. And so he went out and he visited every continent. He's seen all the wonders of the world, participated in the running of the bulls, and these things that he was doing was never enough. He never got that fulfillment in life. And so he sat there and he figured out, well, what's going to be the greatest achievement that I can ever do? And so he decided, well, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to climb Mount Everest. And so he gets the time and he puts the effort, everything he has focused on doing that. And, you know, this is going to be his greatest achievement in life. And so as he's climbing up Mount Everest, he's about to peek over to the summit. He goes through all the process of doing this, and he gets to the top of the summit, and he's looking out, and he's looking down on the world, and he wasn't greeted by this sense of accomplishment. He wasn't enlightened by who he was and his greatness. He didn't have any inner peace. He didn't have joy, and he had thought to himself, you know what? I'm not any different than when I started this journey. And so he had nothing left. He had accomplished everything, and he had this feeling of emptiness. And he said, you know, there's nothing but down in my life. He had more wealth, respect, and fame than anyone could imagine. He had all he ever wanted. Despite that, he was miserable and worse off than ever before. And so there he was, standing on top of the world, and he thought, did I really trade my soul for this? Give everything I had for this, to stand up here and to look down at the world and have nothing. And then it says in the book, through the silence, a sinister wind seemed to hiss, yes. And, you know, these are the things that can be all-consuming. You know, we could have these mountains that we want to climb and this greatness we want to achieve, and it's not fulfilling like as we have the fulfillment when we seek after God to do the goodness that God has for us in our lives. And, you know, recently, I have to admit, one of my weaknesses is trying to be good at mountain biking. And, you know, there's a lot of lessons in that. And I see that as one of those things that could be all-consuming. And I was taught a lesson for all those that are listening. The majority of people here have heard it. I was taught a lesson in humbled on trying to be great on my bicycle. You know, as you grow and you're confident in the things that you do, you press harder and harder and harder. And with that, I believe with the temporal things in life and the way that nature works, that a lot of times when we are doing so, we tend to have accidents and to do the wrong thing. And, you know, it could be intentional, it could be unintentional, unexpected, all those things happen. And it was bad for me because the front tire on my bike slipped out. I went over the handlebars and I decided to hug a boulder in a rapid manner. And it didn't feel good. And I learned a lesson, you know, I got to slow down, I got to focus, I got to do better. And my point is that, you know, as Jerry was saying this morning, you know, when you fall off the horse, you dust yourself off and you get back on. I'm not saying that trying to achieve your goals in life should be completely not part of your plan, or it's not part of the Lord's plan. Just bring the Lord with you. Let him show you his greatness in life and what he can do for you. These mountains that we have to climb, the accomplishments that we have to strive to do, to work hard to do, make sure you put the principles of the gospel and apply those things with it. Your family is going to support you. Your friends are going to support you. The Spirit's going to show you, and you're going to be lifted up through all the difficult times, through all the times that you fall down, through all the times that you struggle, with all the times that you think you can't do it. The Lord's going to be there for you and lift you up and to show you the blessings that come with that. The blessings through time, through patience, through understanding and visiting with the Lord. Work on his time to do that. And in doing so, you know, I wanted to compare it to goodness. And in Webster's 1828, it says, the moral qualities which constitute Christian excellence, moral virtue, religion, kindness, benevolence, but more generally, acts of kindness, charity, humanity, exercised, and mercy. I find that so important, and I love the definition of goodness because it has a lot of the qualities and attributes that came from our Lord and Savior for us in our lives. And one thing I've learned as a Christian is that real satisfaction comes through the goodness of God and how we emulate Christ and what he did with his examples, with his service to all of mankind. And, you know, there's going back, there's that greatness in God. And there's only one man that actually reset time, reset the calendar, and that's Christ. There's a greatness that comes with him that is not worldly, and that's the greatness I look to and hope that you look to. You know, this goodness, I really smile a lot when I think about a couple things this year. Most recently, we've got to sing Christmas carols at the Tender Touch Living Care Facility where Wanda's staying at. And it really was an impact on my heart to be singing. You know, I'm not the kind of guy that likes to stand up and sing. And we did that for the Christmas program because it's our contribution to God. And even in those contributions, if you're feeling uncomfortable and you do things like that, I'm here to tell you that the smiles, the warmness that, it was warm in there because of the temperature, but the warmness from the hearts of those that were recipients of the voices that sung to them was special. It's something that money can't buy and that you can't achieve through your own doing. It's the Lord's doing that inspires you to provide, to serve others. And I know there was an appreciation on their behalf. And at the same time, it feels good to be appreciated. I think that one of the things I've learned is to show appreciation to people, because there's a lot that's being done that deserves thank yous and deserves kind words. These are the things that helps us be able to become strong, strong in the spirit, strong in the faith, and to give others hope. It's something that's overpowering that helps us be able to reveal the goodness of God. And so I have here, goodness is better than greatness. And in Micah 6:8, it says, "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with God." And so I pondered on this a little bit, and you know, this walking humbly with God, you know, I really have to put it in this perspective of what I value. How do I measure worth in this life in which we live? I think more importantly, what am I doing to be a light for Christ? I think about those things and the things that we've done over this year, and do I feel 100% accomplished? No. I believe that in the work of the Lord, that the work is never done. There's always something to do, but there is a sense of accomplishment, and I feel a sense of fulfillment with a lot of the fellowship that we've had here. The fellowship that we've had over this last year has been good. We've had great opportunities to be able to share time with others. I hope those opportunities will continue in the years to come. It's going to be interesting. We see little ones in the video that we watched just before this service, and I think about all the good things that parents have done for their kids, and the hope I have in those kids doing good things for others. And why do I hope that? You know, I know that having this hope helps me. It helps me spiritually, because no matter how hard you try, sometimes you feel that it's not enough. Sometimes you feel that you're not appreciated, but God knows what we do, and He knows what's going on inside of us. And if we walk humbly with God, you know, we're going to see all these things: His love, His mercy, His tenderness. He's going to care for us. And so that gives me inspiration to do good things and to try harder and just to improve a little bit every day and to work towards that. And some of the things I looked up, you know, it's interesting because if you want to have emotional well-being, do good things in your life. You'll see your emotional state change. You'll feel better about yourself. You'll have better relationships with other people. You will strengthen those relationships, especially with God. You don't lose in those situations. And so do good things for other people. If you got stress in your life, do some good things for people. You'll see that your stress levels decrease when you actually do good things for other people. It helps you be able to feel good, and you'll have a better outlook on life. You're physically going to see yourself and your emotional state change when you do good things that God gives you opportunities to do in your life. And so, you know, there's always these opportunities, and I believe that this is a way, if you want, to awaken your soul, to be able to see and to have a great opportunity to feel the Spirit of the Lord change who you are, to lift you up, to wake you up. And you start looking at things differently. You start seeing things differently. You start hearing things differently. Things that might have one time bothered you can change. God can change that. It's our perception of where we're at and who we are, how we're doing, and what we're giving. And if we give the goodness of God to others and we promote that, God awakens our soul. It helps us be alive in Christ. That is so important in our lives, to be alive in Christ. So, you know, this year, we've seen really good people pass away. It's been tough, but those impressions that people leave within our hearts never go away. They help us be able to reflect not only on our lives, but their lives as well, to see the efforts they put towards teaching us, showing us, being an example, testifying of God, and having faith to the very end. And I know that the loved ones that were around us, they went on to receive their reward. And so that's what God calls us to do, is to promote goodness, to continue to do the work, and to be able to receive rewards through our life, senses of accomplishment, those things that we can treasure. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and 11 and 12, it says, "Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." And so I think about this, you know, working with the power of God and how that power gives us the courage to do things. It helps us rebuild our character, structure it in a way to have a foundation on the gospel that is strong, that is mighty, that can do those things that we never thought we can do. And when we apply these principles of the gospel and we serve others, how we can see the power of the Lord and the capability it has to be able to change us, to change others. And so, you know, this is a interesting statement here for us to be counted worthy of the calling that the Lord gives us. And in 1 Corinthians 1:26, it says, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." So these individuals that are seeking after greatness, you know, the Lord's not looking at them to be an example of his love, of his kindness, of his desire to show people the way. These are the people that fall short, and we need to reflect on who we are, and we need to understand God's purpose in our life to be able to continue to do these things, to find ourselves worthy, and to work with faith, to work with power, and to glorify God in our lives. And in doing so, we're instruments in his hand. So, Alma chapter 15, 60 and 61. I was reading this, and I like this story and this account of Ammon. And it says, "I know that which the Lord hath commanded me, and I glory in it. I do not glory of myself, but I glory in that which the Lord hath commanded me. Yea, this is my glory, that perhaps I may be an instrument in the hands of God to bring some soul to repentance. And this is my joy." And it's singular there. It's a soul. That's all. Like, if I could just do this, this would be amazing, that God has given me the capability just to change one soul. And this was a very difficult time for Ammon. And I kind of wanted to reflect on this a little bit. And I was kind of laughing within myself because of the Adam Angel video that we watched prior to this, because Ammon actually gives an account in this book, in this chapter, the book of Alma, about something, and I'll reveal that here. So he was in, there was a lot of wars and there was contentions going on, and he was called to call the men to call people to repentance. And so, you know, with all this death and destruction going on in the land, he was very zealous to set out and do this. And he understood his calling, and he was excited about it, to the point to where he even stated that if he could be an angel and God, and go forth and speak with the trump of God. You know, this is kind of like, I was just like, wow, this is interesting. You know, the Adam Angel video that we watched, and Ammon wished that he could be an angel and go forth and speak with the trump of God. And, you know, he was excited. He was zealous to do this. And he says here, and I wanted to read a couple more verses 51 and 57. He said, "And thus we see the great call of the diligence of men to labor in the vineyards of the Lord, and thus we see the great reason of sorrow and also of rejoicing sorrow because of the death and destruction among men, and joy because of the light of Christ unto life." So with all this death and destruction going on, he has this joy because he knows he could bring this light of Christ to people to give them an eternal life. That's why he's so just full of zeal to do this. And he says in verse 57, "Now seeing that I know these things, why should I desire more than to perform the work which I have been called?" So this is what he's truly focused on. You know, he's not seeking after greatness, but he's focused on doing the Lord's work. And, you know, it's great to have ambition, right? I like to see new employees come in and be ambitious. They're not set in the ways. They're not citified. And they're there. They're wanting to work. They want to accomplish things. And I think that this is the attitude. This is the desire that we should have. And again, to be worthy of our calling. Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 8 says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall also reap also bountifully." And I put in this picture, and it's one seed being planted into the earth. And it made me reflect back at one of the sermons I just had a couple months ago about planting the winter grass and the 50-pound bag of seed, winter grass seed, the rye grass. I believe it was 5 million seeds, but I was all upset and frustrated because the birds were eating my seed, right? And there's 5 million seeds in there. And I could have just seen myself out there planting one seed at a time. It's obnoxious. I'm spreading this seed abundantly, and I did 30% more, which is the rule of thumb when you're planting grass to be able to feed the birds. But I am at a different point now, looking back on my grass. By the way, my front yard is wonderful. With dogs, the backyard's atrocious. But looking at the grass, even though those birds were out there every day picking at that seed, and I was yelling at those birds, chasing them off, here we are a couple months later, and you couldn't even tell that they took seed out of my vineyard, out of my yard. And I think about that, and you know, if we're stringent about what we give, we need to think about that. We need to understand that when we give to others, because the Lord asks us to do so, and we give abundantly, that we receive abundantly as well. Whatever we feel on the inside, it could be difficult, it could be a struggle, but if we put our faith in doing so, the Lord blesses us with that. He shows us. And this is something that we should be doing deliberately. Shouldn't be because everybody else is doing it. Shouldn't be because we have more than enough to do so. It should be something that is with an intent and purpose of heart, knowing that the Lord will take care of us no matter what the ask is. And in doing so cheerfully, I believe that, you know, the Lord gives us bountifully of life. And I have no desire to have any more than what the Lord has given me. I'm content with the opportunities the Lord has given me, and will continue to see those opportunities come. And however they come, whether it's a huge ask or something simple, you know, it's that cheerful heart in doing so and giving back to others what the Lord gives to you that amounts to so much more in the long run. You know, I look at it like an investment a lot of times, and you give what you can today, and what you give today can change somebody's life forever and will grow and continue to compound one good thing after another. those things that you share, other people will have a desire to share. It's not just monetary, it's vocally, it's some supporting somebody emotionally, it's bringing a calmness to a situation and bringing peace to people that have struggle, that have turmoil. All these things that transpire, the Lord helps us be able to see the goodness that we can do and the capability that we have through His strength and His power. And so I wanted to read Psalms 92, verses 12 and 13. It says, "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God." And I was looking at that, and one of the first things I came to is that, hey man, trees aren't typically planted in a house. Trees are planted outside, and there's something special about all this. The other thing I found interesting, that they're planted in the house of the Lord. So what they're planted in isn't just your common soil like we have here in the desert with the caliche, and very difficult to get things grow. We saw and heard Brother Adam with his lime tree, I believe it is, how it just won't grow. And, you know, it's very difficult for things to grow. But this soil that these trees are in is extraordinary. And these trees also have God's protection. And that's important too, because those trees are well taken care of. And I see how God is relating these trees to His people, to His saints, and the righteous, and how important it is to have that desire to be planted in the house of the Lord. And I was thinking about that too. You know, if we were to plant a tree in a house, that tree is going to struggle quite a bit, because the main thing that a tree needs is light. And in the house of the Lord, they're fed by the light of God. And when we're in the house of the Lord, when we understand that He is over us and we're fed by His light, we're going to receive all these things. We're going to receive the wonderful nutrition that God gives us to be able to sustain in this life that we have. Part of that is that we take root in the Lord, that we abide by His laws, His principles, His commandments. And when we do so, this brings fruit and honor and glory to God. And, you know, His holy word and His spirit, this is something that provides the tree with nutrients to help them be fruitful as well. And I think about how a tree, how it transports the nutrients from the soil to the leaves, through the sap, through the inner workings of the tree. And my trees out back, one of them is actually sapping right now. And it's interesting how that process doesn't happen overnight, how it takes time, how it takes effort for that tree to be able to go through this process. But all these trees, all these righteous people flourish when they're planted in the house of the Lord. And it says also by the light, they grow like the cedar in Lebanon. There was a while back, I did a PowerPoint on God's provisions when the children of Israel were walking through the desert and wilderness desert. He relates here, David does in Psalms, about those cedar trees in Lebanon. And that was one of the trees that I talked about in that PowerPoint. And the cedar, again, just, you know, wanted to go back over this, offers protection and wisdom, strength. And it also has, when they utilize the materials from the tree, it has a ability to heal and purify. You know, very interesting. And they used to use it to prepare the water, to be able to help the water. I don't know if it was for bacteria in the water or whatnot, but they also used it with people that had leprosy to be able to help them with their leprosy. And so it also, in the previous PowerPoint I did, it represents the flourishing of the saints. And I think about these trees and how capable they are of doing so many things aside from what we typically think a tree does, provide shade. But there's purposes that God has given these trees, and there's purposes that God has given us. There's a purpose in our life. So we need to look at those things, and we need to understand that when we're planted firmly, that we're letting the light of God shine in our lives, that it gives us life, that we're alive, that we're awakened to this sense of goodness that God sheds upon his children. How important that is. And so, you know, here comes 2025. It's an opportunity. I look at that, and you know, I was born in 1972, and 2025 just doesn't even like seem right. Being a quarter of a century into the year 2000, moving on, and it's an extraordinary journey that we take in life. And when you see how fast, I keep pointing at the screen, I just think about the kids and how little they were. And when we see how fast God goes by, or life goes by, that we know that God is good. And I think about those things. I've been trying to read a little bit more. And if there's a place where you could start with the Bible, start with the Book of Mormon. Those are two great books if you need to get a start. To change your life. And some of the things that we can exercise in our life is the fruits of the Spirit, all those things, those simplistic actions that we can take in serving our Lord and helping us in our spiritual walk. Great opportunity. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, good faith. Galatians 5:22. It's a great start to be able to help you see, to learn, to understand, and know of the goodness of God. There is a big difference between worldly greatness and goodness. And I truly believe that God is good and that he loves each and every one of us. He continues to do so. It's changed my life. I hope it changes yours. The verse that I wanted to leave with us tonight is John 15:9. It says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you, and continue ye in my love." Thank you.